Welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency romance review. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
And Kelsey, this is our 100th episode.
Wow, we've made it. It's been almost 3 years, and a lot has happened in those 3 years. And I can't believe we're here, 100 episodes.
Yeah, just the fact that we've done this 100 times, it does seem kind of monumental. And we wanted to celebrate with a list of books that feature one of our favorite tropes.
I mean, what better way to celebrate? Instead of one book, we just tell you about all the books.
For sure. And, you know, we're kind of in the mood after Bridgerton season 2 because of all the angsty tension with enemies to lovers. So we thought, let's talk about lots of them.
Absolutely. I mean, as we mentioned, it's a favorite trope. So we're just going to talk about all the books within that trope that we think are worth recommendations. In fact, there's even some of them that I don't even know if we've read, but you know what? We put them in there.
Yeah, I was going through my Goodreads too to try to like find ones that I had read. And what I realized is, first of all, I haven't read as many as I thought I have, like enemies to lover tropes. And second of all, I need to read more because they make me really happy. Like I just, I love
them.
They
really do.
Yeah, so that's why like we did include some that we haven't read because they intrigued us when we came across them.
Absolutely. You'll notice in our list that we have some that we have talked about on the podcast before, and we just wanted to keep them in there because they're good examples of the trope. So they were definitely making our list. And so we have some old, some new, some favorites, some I've read, some Zoe's read. We're just covering all the bases.
It's a good mix. And we've actually decided not to include a recap of The Viscount Who Loved Me because I think we've talked about it enough.
Yes. I mean, I think that's something that we have dedicated enough episodes to. So sorry, that one would be on the list and it would be like top of the list if our list was in any way, shape or form a list of any order. However, our list is just a hodgepodge of when I decided to throw them in our notes.
Yes. So for our list, what qualifies as an enemies to lovers today is that the main trope is that the two main characters are actually enemies for some reason. For example, there's a history of animosity, and overcoming their distrust or distaste for each other is a big part of the plot. So that's what we were looking for to kind of qualify things for this list.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, some of that animosity comes from them being previous lovers who had a falling out and are now forced back into close proximity. So, you know, sometimes those enemies to lovers are a bit of those second chance romance novels.
Mm-hmm. And like we already said, since we haven't read all of these, it's possible one of these is not a true enemies to lovers. And we're sorry about that. So we did our best to do our research. But if we get something wrong, we always want to know. So let us know. And if we missed an enemies to lovers that you love and think our listeners would also love, please let us know about that too. Our email is romancepod@gmail.com. Now, before we take it away, I just want to mention one more thing, which is that we have a very special announcement today in the parlor. So if you don't normally join us for the parlor, we would absolutely love to have you there so you can hear about the special thing that we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, it is a very special announcement. We've saved it for our 100th episode. So now's the time to listen all the way through.
All right, Kelsey, shall we take it away?
We shall. We're going to start it off with a fun one that we have previously covered on the podcast, which is Band Sinister by K.J. Charles.
And I loved this book. We'll talk about it a little bit at the end, but here is the synopsis. Sir Philip Rookwood is the disgrace of the country. He's a rake and an atheist, and the rumors about his hellfire club, The Murder, can only be spoken in whispers. Orgies. It's orgies. Guy Frisbee and his sister Amanda live in rural seclusion after a family scandal. But when Amanda breaks her leg in a riding accident, she's forced to recuperate at Rookwood Hall, where Sir Philip is hosting the murder. Guy rushes to protect her, but the murder aren't what he suspects. They're educated, fascinating people, and the notorious Sir Philip turns out to be charming, kind, and dangerously attractive. In this private space where anything goes, the longings Guy has stifled all his life are impossible to resist. And so is Philip. But all too soon, the rural rumor mill threatens both Guy and Amanda. The innocent country gentleman has lost his heart to the bastard baronet. But does he dare lose his reputation too? Just reading that makes me want to reread the book.
I know.
It was so good.
It was so good. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It was my first experience with a K.J. Charles book, and it was
me too.
Fabulous from like start to finish.
Yeah. So if you just want to turn off the episode now, which I don't recommend, but if you need to read, just pick that one up. You won't be disappointed.
Yes. And if you just want to listen to more detailed descriptions of it, you can head on over to our episode on it.
Yes. And then you'll hear all of our thoughts. So number two is one of my very personal favorite books, I Kissed an Earl by Julianne Long.
This is obviously covered on the podcast as it is part of the Pennyroyal Green series.
Yes.
So if you need a recap, Violet Redmond's family and fortune might be formidable and her beauty and wit matchless, but her infamous flair for mischief keeps all but the most lion-hearted suitors at bay. Only Violet knows what will assuage her restlessness, a man who doesn't bore her to tears, and a clue to the fate of her missing brother. She never dreams she'd find both with a man whose own pedigree is far from impeccable. Savage is what the women of the ton whisper about the newly styled Earl of Ardmay, albeit with shivers of pleasure. Born an English bastard, raised on the high seas, he's on a mission to capture a notorious pirate for vengeance. But while Violet's belief in her brother's innocence maddens him, her courage awes him, and her sensuality finally undoes him. Now the man who once lost everything and the girl who has everything to lose are bound by a passion that could either end in betrayal or become everything they ever dreamed.
Oh my gosh. I've been in a bit of a reading slump, and maybe this is what I need. I need to go back to one of my favorites. This book always, always lives up to every memory I have of it. I love this book so much.
What better way to get out of a reading slump than to read a favorite?
Yes. And it's – anyhow – this is one of our early episodes, episode 4, so I'll admit it's a bit lengthy and it's also not the best audio quality, but I love, love, love our discussion in it.
Absolutely. Our third book is another podcast cover, which is A Beginner's Guide to Rakes by Suzanne Enoch.
So the synopsis of this one is, all of London is abuzz with the return of the utterly alluring, recently widowed Diane Benchley. Will she remarry? What will she do with her late husband's fortune? Society is shocked by her announcement, at the Grand Ball of all places, that she plans to open an exclusive gentleman's gaming club in the family mansion. But no one is more stunned than the Marquess of Haybury, Oliver Warren. Years ago, Oliver and Diane shared a private indiscretion. Now Diane threatens to reveal Oliver's most ungentlemanly secrets unless he agrees to help her. A notorious gambler and rake, Oliver is overqualified to educate Diane in the ways and means of running her establishment. But striking a deal with Diane might just be the biggest risk Oliver has ever taken. This time, the only thing he has to lose is his heart.
Yes. So this one was not one of Zoe's favorites, but...
Correct.
It is a great example of an enemies to lovers.
It absolutely is. And I actually quite like this episode because this is one of the rare times that we really disagreed. So if you haven't listened to this episode yet, it's kind of a fun one because Kelsey and I are very much at odds.
Yes, like we said, which doesn't happen often. But you know, when it does, it comes with a thorough debate that everyone enjoys.
Yes, absolutely. Our next book is The Lord I Left by Scarlett Peckham.
He's a minister to whores. She's a fallen woman. Lord Lieutenant Henry Evesham is an evangelical reformer charged with investigating the flesh trade in London. His visits to bawdy houses leave him with a burning desire to help sinners who've lost their innocence to vice, even if the temptations of their world test his vow not to lose his moral compass again. As apprentice to London's most notorious whipping governess, Alice Hull is on the cusp of abandoning her quiet rural roots for the city's swirl of provocative ideas and pleasures, until a family tragedy upends her dreams and leaves her desperate to get home. When the handsome, pious Lord Lieutenant offers her a ride despite the coming blizzard, she knows he has her best chance to reach her ailing mother, even if she doesn't trust him. He has the power to destroy her. She has the power to undo him. As they struggle to travel the snow-swept countryside, they find their suspicion of each other thawing into a longing that leaves them both shaken. Alice stirs Henry's deepest fantasies, and he awakens part of her she thought she'd forsworn years ago. But Henry is considering new regulations that threaten the people Alice holds dear, and an association with a woman like Alice would threaten Henry's reputation if he allowed himself to get too close. Is falling for the wrong person a test of faith or a chance at unimagined grace?
So this is one I've read. I don't know. Have you read this one, Kelsey?
No.
Well, I highly recommend it. I loved this book. I don't know. I don't remember if it's super traditional enemies to lovers, but like they are completely at odds just by what they do, right? You know, mm-hmm. So like their careers have them at odds. And
Yes. So
their careers have them as enemies, even if like their personalities don't, which is also like a really interesting kind of dialogue that sets between the two characters, because they, I think if I remember correctly, like they kind of like each other as people a little bit, but they can't like each other because of everything, all of the circumstances. So it's really interesting, you know, and she can't let him know too much and he can't let her know too, you know,
yeah.
It's just, there's only one bed quite a few times.
Well, I mean, who doesn't also love an only one bed?
So, yeah, it's real steamy and it's a really interesting read. I don't always like, you know, the pious man of faith or woman of faith. But man, Scarlett Peckham, she knows how to weave a tale for sure.
She definitely does know how to do that. As does another author we love, which is Lisa Kleypas, which is number mm-hmm. 5 on our book, It Happened One Autumn, by Lisa Kleypas.
This is quite a favorite of many people. So the synopsis is, it happened at the ball, where beautiful but bold Lillian Bowman quickly learned that her independent American ways weren't entirely the thing. And the most disapproving of all was insufferable, snobbish, and impossible Marcus, Lord Westcliffe, London's most eligible aristocrat. It happened in the garden. When Marcus shockingly and dangerously swept her into his arms, Lillian was overcome with a consuming passion for a man she didn't even like. Time stood still. It was as if no one else existed. Thank goodness they weren't caught in the act. It happened one autumn. Marcus was a man in charge of his own emotions, a bedrock of stability. But with Lillian, every touch was exquisite torture, every kiss, enticement for more. Yet how could he consider taking a woman so blatantly unsuitable as his bride? And this is number 1 in the Wallflowers series.
Yes, which is a favorite and also mm-hmm. the precursor to the Ravenels and, you know, the Sebastians of the world.
Yes, we have a episode on Devil in Winter, which I think is the third book in the series. And yeah, this is a great book. We get requests for this book a lot, and maybe we'll cover it too one day.
Maybe we should, because definitely rereading that, I know I've but yes, I just listening to that description, I'm like, I kind of want to read that.
That's how I feel about most of the books on this list, including, I'm sure, after you read it, the next book we have, which is Lord of Scoundrels by Loretta Chase.
Determined lady. Tough-minded Jessica Trent's sole intention is to free her nitwit brother from the destructive influence of Sebastian Ballister, the notorious Marquess of Dane. She never expects to desire the arrogant, amoral cad. And when Dane's reciprocal passion places them in a scandalously compromising and public position, Jessica is left with no choice but to seek satisfaction. Lord of Scoundrels. Damn the minx for tempting him, kissing him, and then forcing him to salvage her reputation. Lord Dane can't wait to put the infuriating Bluestocking in her place and in some amorous position. And if that means marriage, so be it. Though Sebastian is less than certain he can continue to remain aloof and steal his heart to the sensuous, headstrong lady's considerable charms.
Yeah, this book is like, it's like a foundational book of the genre. And I finally read it last year, and my goodness, it swept me away. This is a phenomenal book.
Did we read this on the podcast?
I thought we did, but there's no episode on it. So
interesting. So apparently, I think maybe we just talked about it enough that you and I both simultaneously decided to read it to see what everything was going on.
I think that's what happened. But yeah, it's such a good book. Listeners, I highly recommend it. As I will also recommend the next book, which is – oh, wait, sorry. You get to talk the title of this one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is also great, but as is our next one, Married by Morning by Lisa Kleypas. It's like we like her.
Well, and some authors tend to write more of one trope than others, you know? I just like readers, I'm sure authors have favorites or things that they are just really good at. So that's why we have multiple Kleypases here.
And we are not upset about it.
He is everything she wants to avoid. For 2 years, Catherine Marks has been a paid companion to the Hathaway sisters, a pleasant position with one caveat. Her charge's older brother, Leo Hathaway, is thoroughly exasperating. Kat can hardly believe that their constant arguing could mask a mutual attraction. But when one quarrel ends in a sudden kiss, Kat is shocked at her powerful response, and even more so when Leo proposes a dangerous liaison. She's not at all what she seems. Leo must marry and produce an heir within a year to save his family home. Catherine's respectable demeanor hides a secret that would utterly destroy her. But to Leo, Kat is intriguing and infernally tempting, even to a man resolved never to love again. The danger Kat tried to outrun is about to separate them forever, unless two wary lovers can find a way to banish the shadows and give in to their desires.
Ooh.
Yes, and that's the beginning of that's part of the Hathaway series, which is another wonderful series by Lisa Kleypas.
I mean, yeah, 100%, as is another wonderful series that we have next on our list.
Yes, this is Spindle Cove series, and I can't remember, is this the first book in Spindle Cove?
No, it's not the first book. It's like the third book I want. It's like the second or third one.
All right, fair enough. We're talking about A Week to Be Wicked by Tessa Dare.
When a devilish lord and a Bluestocking set off on the road to ruin, time is not on their side. Minerva Highwood, one of Spindle Cove's confirmed spinsters, needs to be in Scotland. Colin Sandhurst, Lord Payne, a rake of the First Order, needs to be anywhere but Spindle Cove. These unlikely partners have 1 week to fake an elopement, convince family and friends they're in love, outrun armed robbers, survive their worst nightmares, travel 400 miles without killing each other, all while sharing a very small carriage by day and an even smaller bed by night. What they didn't have time for is their growing attraction, much less wild passion. And heaven forbid they spend precious hours bearing their hearts and soul. Suddenly, 1 week seems like exactly enough time to find a world of trouble and maybe, just maybe, love.
I have to reread that one. I can't remember when I last read that, but I think when I asked people for their favorite enemies to lovers on Instagram, we got this one a few times.
I mean, it's so good. And I mean, Colin is... I feel like the name Colin is right up there with the name Sebastian as far as like great heroes.
Yeah, maybe we'll just have a Colin Sebastian episode where we just talk about Colins and Sebastians.
Right. But Minerva is also just like one of my favorite characters of all time. Like she's so great. So great. And she's so science-minded, and Colin is like, I don't know what's going on. And then by the end of it, he's like, speak science to me, lady.
Well, speaking of science, this next author has a great book about a lady scientist, but that's not the book we're talking about right now.
No, indeed. This book is Unlocked by Courtney Milan.
A perpetual wallflower destined for spinsterhood, Lady Elaine Warren is resigned to her position in society. So when Evan Carleton, the powerful, popular Earl of Westfield, singles her out upon his return to England, she knows what it means. Her former tormentor is up to his old tricks, and she's his intended victim. This time, though, the Earl is going to discover that wallflowers can fight back. Evan has come to regret his cruel, callow past. At first, he only wants to make up for past wrongs, but when Elaine throws his initial apology in his face, he finds himself wanting more. And this time, what torments him might be love.
Okay, I'm not sure I've read this. And I'm surprised by this, and also I need to go read this.
Yes, this series has some really special books in it from my memory. It's been so long. I should, again, help me get out of the reading slump, Courtney Milan. She's amazing and I love everything she does. But this Unlocked, there's like Untamed, Unveiled maybe. I can't remember everything in this series. But there's some really, well, great books. But she's great. I mean, there's a lot of love in in this list. And we're coming to our third, speaking of love, Lisa Kleypas book.
Yes.
So our next book on the list is Then Came You by Lisa Kleypas.
A woman with a secret. Reckless beauty, Lily Lawson, delights in shocking London society. She will break any rule to get what she wants, and she is determined to stop her younger sister from marrying Alex, Lord Wolverton, a handsome and arrogant earl who has vowed never to fall in love. A man who will do anything to possess her. To Alex's fury, the headstrong hellion presents a temptation he can't resist. He vows to make her pay dearly for her interference with her body, her soul, and her stubborn, well-guarded heart. As Alex and Lily challenge each other at every turn, they are caught up in a white-hot desire that burns through every defense and exposes the mystery of Lily's past. And together they discover that love is the most dangerous game of all.
So yeah, this is a sister gatekeeper. So I feel like this is the perfect book to recommend. Like if you have a book hangover from The Viscount Who Loved Me or Bridgerton Season 2, Then Came You by Lisa Kleypas is like another version, different, kind of very similar, but different and awesome book.
Yes. And if, you know, your intro to the world of romance was Bridgerton, and you found, like most of us do, that The Viscount Who Loved Me is like amazing, and you're just not sure where to head over next, this is probably a good place to start. And then you can enter the world of Lisa Kleypas, which we love.
Might never want to leave.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of books in that world, so you can really get going.
Yes. And then you'll become a historical romance reader like the rest of us, where we read, you know, potentially hundreds of books a year. So enjoy.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I was entering all my books on Goodreads, my Amazon purchases books, and I keep looking at the tally of read books just get higher and higher and higher. And I still haven't reached the end of my Amazon list yet.
I tried that once to go through my Nook and just like enter everything into my Goodreads. And I think I only made it to like M in the alphabet. So I still haven't put in all the books I've ever read on my Nook, but I try to keep up with it now because I do find it fun.
Yeah.
However, before we talk more books, shall we first adjourn to the parlor for our special announcement?
We shall.
All right, listeners. So this is our 100th episode, and Kelsey and I feel like, you know, we've done this for a while and now felt like the right time that maybe we could ask you guys for a little bit of support.
Yes. So today in our 100th episode, we are announcing the launch of our Patreon. Woo! Yes, we are finally taking the plunge. You know, we have really enjoyed producing this podcast for all of you, and it's been a lot of fun. However, as hobbies goes, it does add up over time, especially when we want to do more things for you, our listeners. We want to make things fun and interactive for you, our listeners. And at this point, we think the best way to be able to continue doing that is by having a Patreon dedicated to everyone.
Yeah. And we would really like to also make some improvements to our quality and to the show. And so having a little bit of financial support is a great way to start. So let us tell you a little bit about our tiers. Our first tier is called the Ton. So if you'd like to join us at our base level and be part of the Ton, that is $3 a month. And the rewards at that level start with our undying love and gratitude.
Yes, seriously.
Because we really do understand that pledging your support to a podcast or anything, any type of media that you enjoy, it's a big deal. You know, I have some podcasts that I also support personally. And like, you know, I maybe listened to them for 2 years before I, you know, took the plunge and started doing that. So like we really understand that not everybody's in a monetary position to support us. And that's fine. You're also supporting us by listening and telling friends about the show. So if you can't join us on Patreon, we totally understand. But if you can, our first tier is the Ton at $3 a month. And again, you get our undying love and gratitude. You also get your name listed on our website and mentioned on the show. If you don't want your name to be mentioned, then of course, you can opt out of that. You will also get a personalized thank you card sent in the mail, no matter where you are in the world. That will also include a cute sticker that we designed. Kelsey came up with the slogan. It says Regency Romance, Happily Ever After since 1810, I believe.
I believe that's whatever date is on there.
Yeah, the correct date is on there. We did some research before that. And then you'll also get a Tea and Strumpets bookmark as well. So that's for the $3 a month tier to join the Ton.
Yes, our second tier is All Max, a little bit more of an exclusive circle. So if you want to get your voucher to All Max, then our entry level there is $5 a month. And rewards, similar to our first one, you'll get our undying love and gratitude, your name listed on our website and mentioned on the show, a personalized thank you card in the mail with our Regency Romance designed sticker, our bookmark, as well as a Tea and Strumpets magnet. You will also receive an invitation to a quarterly Zoom discussion of a book reviewed on the podcast, and that will be coordinated at a time that is convenient for as many participants as possible.
Yes, and we'll poll everyone in that tier to see which book we should review. We'll kind of give a couple options. And then, like we said, we're going to do our best to make sure as many people of that tier can participate, just depending on time zones. You know, coordinating may be tricky, but Kelsey and I are great at planning. We will figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
And now for our top tier. This is the aristocracy. So if you want to be one of our top supporters at $10 a month, you will get all of the things mentioned before, but you will also get the opportunity to pick a book to be reviewed on the podcast. So there are a couple caveats with that. They have to fall, you know, within the Regency Victorian Georgian period. And, you know, we may veto them based on certain reasons, but we'll work with you to find a book that you want to have reviewed and that we want to review. And then on top of that, we're just going to mention that depending on how many people we have in the aristocracy and how many books we have recommended to the podcast, we may do some of those in like a roundup episode where we read them and then talk about them a little bit in short, or we may do a full length episode on that. So that's just the like asterisk about, you know, the book selection. But we want to give you guys the opportunity, you know, with that much support, to have your voice heard. And so that's what we're offering.
Yes. So we would be so thankful if you can head on over to our Patreon. And if you are in a position to subscribe to us on Patreon and help us keep producing the show that we love so much, we would be eternally grateful.
Yes. And just so you guys know, our Patreon is patreon.com/TN Strumpets. T as in Tom, N as in Nancy, Strumpets. So similar to everything else. But we do have a goal that we're trying to hit to begin with.
Yes. So our goal is just to help us really cover the costs of the podcast per month in order so that we can free up a little capital, like we said, to make improvements as well as invest a little back in what we can do for you, our listeners. And once we reach that goal, all of our patrons will be automatically entered into a raffle with a wonderful giveaway at the end of it. So when we reach our goal, everyone will be entered and we will do a drawing for the giveaway. We'll be giving away a gift card to a indie bookstore or online retailer of your choice, as well as some other personalized goodies from Zoe and I. Mm-hmm. So that will include a book that Zoe and I are really fond of at the moment. So you'll get a little book mail, which is always the best kind of mail, as well as some other personalized little bookish things that we think you might like.
Yes. So we are excited to put that all together for you guys. We're nervous and excited for the launch of our Patreon. And again, we just appreciate your support in whatever form you're able to give it. And if that's just by listening to the words that we are saying right now, we love you for that too. So again, though, if you do want to join our Patreon, you can do that at patreon.com/T as in Tom, N as in Nancy, Strumpets.
So book number 11 is an author we have yet to talk about, but it is an author that I have actually read a lot of, and that is Secret Desires of a Gentleman by Laura Lee Girk.
And we're going to both say we've stumbled over this name a few times because, again, this is one of those things that we've read a million times and never had to say out loud. So we're feeling pretty terrible right now. It might be Girky. It might be Girk.
And we'll just refer to her now as LLG.
Yes. And apologies, Laura, for not knowing which it is.
Yeah.
However, this book has a great synopsis, which is: once upon a time, Maria Martingale was going to elope, but Philip Hawthorne, Marquess of Cane, put a stop to those plans when he learned his younger brother intended to marry a cook's daughter. Now, 12 years later, Maria discovers that the man who holds her fate in his hands is none other than the haughty gentleman who sent her packing, and he's as handsome and arrogant as ever. Happily ever after? Always the proper gentleman, Philip will do anything to protect his family from scandal, and when Maria dares to move in right next door, he knows scandal will surely follow. She is as tempting as he remembered, and the more he sees her, the harder it is for Philip to keep his own secret desire for her a secret.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think this is one of the ones that neither of us has read, right?
I think I've read it. I've read most of Laura Lee's books, actually, believe it or not. When I go through my Kindle, I have a lot of them. So I'm pretty sure I have read this one, but that was why I wanted to include it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an author I really enjoy.
Well, I haven't read this one, but it sounds really fun. I like all the tropes in it, including, you know, next door and old enemies. And there's a lot of things here. Okay. But there's also a lot of things in our next one, which is A Delicate Deception by Kat Sebastian.
When Amelia Allenby escaped a stifling London ballroom for the quiet solitude of the Derbyshire countryside, the very last thing she wanted was an extremely large, if she grudgingly admits, passably attractive gentleman disturbing her daily walks. Lecturing the surveyor about property rights doesn't work, and somehow he has soon charmed his way into lemon cakes, long walks, and dangerously heady kisses. The very last place Sydney wished to be was in the shadow of the ruins of Pelham Hall, the inherited property that stole everything from him. But as he awaits his old friend, the Duke of Hereford, he finds himself increasingly captivated by the maddeningly lovely and exceptionally odd Amelia. He quickly finds that keeping his ownership of Pelham Hall a secret is as impossible as keeping himself from falling in love with her. But when the Duke of Hereford arrives, Sidney's ruse is revealed, and what started out as a delicate deception has become a love too powerful to ignore. Will they let a lifetime of hurt come between them, or can these two lost souls find love and peace in each other?
Okay, but this one I don't think either of us has read.
No, I haven't, but I found it on a list of other enemies to lovers that someone had put out, and I was like, oh, that's going up there.
For sure. I can see the cover of this one in my head, and it's been on my TBR, so maybe it's time to move it up the list.
I think it is. I mean, who doesn't want to go on a lovers to enemies binge? Our next book is by another author of mine that I've read a lot of, and this book is The Laird Who Loved Me by Karen Hawkins.
Handsome Alexander McLean enjoyed his intoxicating flirtation with the lovely Caitlin Hurst until she embarrassed him in front of the entire ton. Orchestrating Caitlin's attendance at a fashionable house party, Alexander plots her downfall, but to his fury, her charm and wit thwart his plans to ruin her. Her disastrous London season left Caitlin filled with regret and determined to make things right with Alexander. She's delighted to find him at the house party to which she's unexpectedly invited, but it's clear that the sexy, arrogant Highlander hasn't forgiven her. So Caitlin comes up with a bold scheme, proposing an unusual contest drawn from legend. Each must complete a series of mythic tasks. If Caitlin succeeds, Alexander promises to relent and forgive her rash behavior. If he succeeds, she will join him in his bed. But can Caitlin force Alexander to give up his quest for vengeance without giving up her heart in return?
Yeah, this is another fun one. I love a good Scottish story, and this one's got some rival families kind of going on here. It's yeah, love me some Karen Hawkins.
This one sounds so fun. I love the mythic tasks, and I love hate the whole, like, you will join me in my bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the next book we've also featured sort of on another list because we featured the series that it's in, which is the Dressmakers series. And it is called Scandal Wears Satin by Loretta Chase.
From the journals of Sophia Nuoro, a dress is a weapon. It must dazzle his eyes, raise his temperature, and empty his purse. A blue-eyed innocent on the outside and a shark on the inside, dressmaker Sophie Nuoro can sell sand to Bedouins. Selling Maison Nuoro's beautiful designs to aristocratic ladies is a little harder, especially since a recent family scandal has made an enemy of one of society's fashion leaders. Turning scandal to the shop's advantage requires every iota of Sophie's skills, leaving her little patience for a big, reckless rake like the Earl of Longmore. The gorgeous lummox can't keep more than one idea in his head at a time, and his idea is taking off all of Sophie's clothes. But when Longmore's sister, Nuoro's wealthiest favorite customer, runs away, Sophie can't let him bumble after her on his own. In hot pursuit with the one man who tempts her beyond reason, she finds desire has never slipped on so smoothly.
I love the word lummox.
It's a great word. It honestly is.
When you're describing a hero as a lummox, I'm just like, yes, please. I will take that lummox. I will help him out.
There's just like an imagery that comes to your head when you hear someone being a lummox.
It's so great. I am a fan already.
Our next book is another, I don't know if it was featured on our sister list, but it probably should have been. But this is a book out of the as a Matchmakers series, and that is The Rogue to Ruin by Vivian Lauret.
The Bourne Matrimonial Agency has one rule: never fall in love with a client, which shouldn't be a problem when one's faking an engagement to the rogue across the street. Ainsley Bourne needs the family business to succeed, but one obstacle stands in her way. Reed Sterling, the huge, handsome former prize fighter and owner of the gaming hell across the street. His scandalous customers scare off all her marriage-minded patrons, and since the devilish brute has no intention of relocating, she sets out to ruin his unsavory establishment. Yet when a vile suitor from her past reappears, Ainsley hastily claims an attachment to the first man who comes to mind. Mr. Sterling, to be exact. Reed doesn't know who is more surprised by Mrs. Boren's declaration. She clearly hates him, and he'd never admit their arguments simmer with unrequited attraction. Something about the pleading look in her eyes calls to Reed, and against his better judgment, he quickly plays the part of besotted fiancé. Pretending to be in love requires a convincing charade, but with each tantalizing touch and every scandalous kiss, Ainsley starts to wonder if Reed was ever really the enemy at all. Oh my gosh. So I haven't read this and now I must.
Like, you need to read the whole series. The whole series is so good. Like, it's three sisters and they have a matchmaking business in order to keep money afloat. And like, this was the last one and the whole, it kind of leads up to it because she's always mad at Mr. Sterling and like the gambler across the street. And so of course, when this book came out, I was like, yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I love these list episodes that we do because it always just gets me so excited for books and reading. The last one that we did, our 2022 books, I ordered like four of them and read them and just like read them all right away. And so I feel like I'm going to have the same thing happen after this list. I can't wait.
Yes, absolutely. I 100% agree.
So our next book is a little bit different, but it's An Heiress to Remember by Maya Rodale. So this is a Gilded Age novel that's set in New York, I believe.
Yes.
But I have read it and you have read it and it is a great enemies to lovers.
It is 100% great enemies to lovers. And here is why. USA Today's best-selling author Maya Rodale's Gilded Age Girls Club series continues with an enemies to lovers romance that shows love is sweeter than revenge. So literally, here we go. Uptown Heiress. Once a society darling, Beatrice Goodwin has returned to Manhattan in a cloud of scandal. She is determined to save the bankrupt family business, Goodwin's department store, and transform it into the shopping destination for Manhattan's women. She will certainly never, ever sell to Wes Dalton. Downtown Rogue. Wes Dalton came from nowhere to possess one of the great fortunes of the Gilded Age, thanks to his premier department store, located opposite Goodwin's. This merchant prince never forgot the girl who got away, or her parents who made it clear that he'd never be rich, powerful, or respectable enough. He has sworn revenge, until Beatrice's return complicates everything. Happy ever after at last? Now Goodwin's and Dalton's are dueling to be the best department store in Manhattan. Beatrice and Wes will stop at nothing to impress, and not even the sparks flying between them will get in the way of their fierce rivalry. They are competitors by day and lovers by night, until they're forced to choose what is sweeter, revenge, success, or happily ever after at last.
I am actually looking at my copy right now.
Oh my gosh.
Because Maya Rodale sent us copies. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I mean, you probably do.
I do.
But she sent us copies before it came out or right after it came out. Mm-hmm. And having it in my hands pushed me into Gilded Age New York. And I really enjoyed it. So, you know, broadening our horizons.
Yes. Her whole Gilded Age Girls Club, I've read all of the books and they're all really great. And I mean, I love Maya anyway. I love all her books.
Yes.
But this mm-hmm. one, I mean, if you love an enemies to lovers, what better than a department store?
Like, it's battle. Dueling department stores. That's a great three words.
I know.
That's all I have to say.
Beautiful. Okay. So our next book is the book that it's the first book in a two book series that broke my heart because a third book never appeared.
Oh.
But this book is a great enemies to lovers. And it is The Captain of All Pleasures by Cressley Cole.
Cressley Cole, you say? So this is her quote, exhilarating debut novel. Cressley Cole captures the drama, passion, and boundless adventure of the high seas as one fiery lass finds herself caught in a tide of torrid romance. Raised as a free spirit aboard her American sea captain father's majestic clipper ship, willful Nicole Lassiter has never encountered an obstacle she couldn't overcome until she meets Captain Derek Sutherland. His sizzling kisses leave her longing, but after they share a night of passion, his subsequent disdain makes her blood boil. Nicole vows to take her revenge by helping her father beat Sutherland in a high-stakes competition, the Great Circle Race from England to Australia. Nicole's scheme is thrown overboard after her father is wrongly imprisoned, yet she remains undaunted, taking to the high seas with her father's ship. But a storm wrecks her plans, and she finds herself a virtual prisoner aboard Sutherland's vessel. And while her mind tells her she should escape, her body urges her to surrender. Ah, what? This book sounds amazing.
Oh my, Cressley Cole. So I've read like almost all of Cressley Cole's Immortals After Dark series, which is like a paranormal romance series that I absolutely love. And when I saw these historicals of hers, of course I read them. And this book and the second book are amazing. And I was just so upset because it literally like she sets up book three. And then I guess she changed into the paranormal world because never again did I discover what happened. And I was so upset. However, she is just, her books are just like full of adventure and they're steamy beyond all belief. And like, and she's just, she's got an amazing way with words and her world building and storytelling is just phenomenal. So honestly, as much as I have some sadness at the end of this, this book is truly amazing. And it is a high seas adventure of a lifetime.
It sounds fabulous. Our next book has a title that just absolutely screams enemies to lovers. There is no other trope that this book can really be about. Mm-hmm. And it is To Love and to Loathe by Martha Walters.
The widowed Diana, Lady Templeton, and Jeremy Marquess of Willingham are infamous among English high society as much for their sharp-tongued bickering as their flirtation. One evening, an argument at a ball turns into a serious wager. Jeremy will marry within the year, or Diana will forfeit £100. So shortly after, just before a fortnight-long house party at Elderwild, Jeremy's country estate, Diana is shocked when Jeremy appears at her home with a very different kind of proposition. After his latest mistress unfavorably criticized his skills in the bedroom, Jeremy is looking for reassurance, so he has gone to the only woman he trusts to be totally truthful. He suggests that they embark on a brief affair while at the house party. Jeremy can receive an honest critique of his bedroom skills, and widowed Diana can use the gossip to signal to other gentlemen that she is interested in taking a lover. Diana thinks taking him up on his counterproposal can only help her win her wager. With her in the bedroom and Jeremy's married-minded grandmother, the formidable Dowager Marchioness of Willingham, helping to find suitable matches among the eligible ladies at Elderwild, Diana is confident her victory is assured. But while they're focusing on winning wagers, they stand to lose their own hearts.
That sounds like a fun one. I like the widow angle and the bedroom skills angle.
It is actually a really fun book. I really enjoyed it. This is the second book by Martha Walters. I just read her third one, which is... So the first book in the series is To Have and To Hoax, which we were talking about, and I didn't like it because it's a lot of if only they had an honest conversation with each other. Mm-hmm. And so that was very frustrating. But when I met the characters for this book in that book, and I immediately had to read their book because it sounded amazing and it was a lovers to enemies trope. So, of course, and then it's followed up by her third one, which just came out not too long ago. And it is really good as well.
What is the third one called?
Great question. To Marry and to Meddle is the third one.
Gotcha.
Okay. So yes, so this To Love and to Loathe is followed up by To Marry and to Meddle, which I also recently read, and that was really good as well. So, but I mean, this book is really fun. Diana and Jeremy have some really great discussions, and there's a lot of good bickering involved.
Tons of fun.
Yes. So our next book is For the Duke's Eyes Only by Lenora Bell. And I have a funny story about it, but I'll tell you later.
If adventure has a name, it must be Lady India Rochester. The intrepid archaeologist possesses a sharp blade and even a sharper knack for uncovering history's forgotten women. Unfortunately, she has one annoying weakness, the dangerously handsome Duke of Ravenwood, former best friend, current enemy, and the man who dared to break her heart. Daniel Bonds, the Duke of Ravenwood, is a thrill-seeking antiquities hunter who only plays by one rule: never fall in love. He's in it for the fortune and the glory. At least that's what he wants the world to think. He's sworn to hide his tangled web of secrets, especially from the one woman he cares about, and will protect at any cost. But when a priceless relic is stolen from the British Museum, the rivals must align forces, racing to recover the stolen antiquity and avert an international disaster? All in a day's work. Avoiding their buried feelings? More and more impossible. For love is about to become the greatest treasure of all. The grand adventure begins now.
Okay, so I love this book. I really like Lenora Bell, and I read a bunch of other series. I actually recently found out she had a book that came out not too long ago that I just finished reading. She's got another one later this year that I just pre-ordered. And she has these really – they're really fun and lighthearted, but this is a really great lover's enemies to lovers. There is like a secret past and like a tragic childhood backstory that like, you know, separates them. And it's really very interesting. Plus you get a Lady India is her friends are all like unique businesswomen. The most recent book I read was in a separate series, but the main character is friends with Lady India, and she's a Lady Vinter. She's wants to bring about like the rise of English sparkling wine.
Oh my gosh. I'm so in. Like, so in. You know, I was trying to find books that were about like cooking or potentially brewing, you know, or something like that. And there's actually very few that really feature that, because, you know, a lot of regencies are about the aristocracy. So there isn't a lot of cooking or working class people, people cooking or doing working class things. So this is really interesting. This might, or that one that you were talking about could have fit the bill for that.
Yeah, no, really good. I mean, she is a lady, but it was really fun. There's a lot of like actual winemaking knowledge in the book too. Like, it had so much in there. I was like, I am fascinated. I love wine. I love it more now. So Lady India is the archaeologist in the group, and they have a host of other amazing women who are really like foremost in their fields, although they can't show it because they're women. And so they create a club. but this story with India and Daniel is really, truly beautiful, and I was really looking forward to it. But my funny story about it was, I am really terrible at remembering authors and titles of books. And really, like,
cheers.
Like main characters of any books. I can remember like significant plot details, like nobody's business. Like, I can tell you a very detailed scene that happened in a book, but I won't be able to tell you what book it came from in any way, shape, or form. So when I was coming up with this list, I thought of this book. I remembered the lady archaeologist and the guy who was her rival. And I remembered the first scenes, because she's going into like a historical society that women are barred from. And she's dressed like a man to try to like get some, like to be able to view one of the books and like copy knowledge out, like so she can further her own tasks, like very vividly. And luckily, I have a friend who's really good at remembering all authors' names and plots and title names, because I couldn't think of this for the life of me. And I was going through my Kindle looking at the books and nothing was ringing a bell. And so I texted my friend, and not 5 minutes later, she's like, it was a Lenora Bell book. I think it was For the Duke's Eyes Only. Sure enough, it was a Lenora Bell book, For the Duke's Eyes Only. And I was like, thanks, Sarah.
Nothing was ringing a Lenora Bell. Hey-o. But sorry. Anyhow, that's amazing. I am so just floored by people who can remember the titles and the names. It's just not how the books stick into my head, because there are so many that go into my head and they're all fabulous, but somehow that's just not an easy thing to remember for all of us. So,
okay. There you go.
So now we have come to the final book on our list, but certainly not the final book that is enemies to lovers in general, and certainly not the only book that is enemies to lovers by this author, because this author writes some really angsty enemies to lovers books, and I'm sure she has many more that you know, I know we didn't include, but I thought I would take this very angsty one as our final book. And it is Daring and the Duke by Sarah McLean.
Yes, if ever there was an enemies to lovers. Grace Condrey has spent a lifetime running from her past. Betrayed as a child by her only love and raised on the streets, she now hides in plain sight as Queen of London's darkest corners. Grace has a sharp mind and a powerful right hook and has never met an enemy she could not best until the man she once loved returns. Single-minded and ruthless, Ewan, Duke of Marwick, has spent a decade searching for the woman he never stopped loving. A long ago gamble may have lost her forever, but Ewan will go to any lengths to win Grace back and make her his duchess. Reconciliation is the last thing Grace desires. Unable to forgive the past, she vows to take her revenge. But revenge requires keeping Ewan close, and soon her enemy seems to be something else altogether. Something she can't resist, even as he threatens the world she's built, the life she's claimed, and the heart she's sworn he'd never steal again.
Ugh, this book is actually like childhood friends to enemies to lovers. Mm-hmm. So like it goes through a few ups and downs.
Yes. And I mean, this was a great culmination of a series. So
yeah. And I'm going to say once again, this is a very angsty, grovelly book. And so if that's your thing, this is the book for you. It's not always my thing, the super grovel, you know, and the super kind of angsty thing, but this was such a great culmination to the series. Like looking back on the series and the Bare Knuckle Bastards and then finally knowing the story of Grace and Ewan, like I felt like it was such a great way to wrap it up, and it just felt very complete.
Agree. And I also will say, like, this is a really fabulous redemption story. Like, it's mm-hmm. very hard when you have a redemption hero. It's hard to make them really feel truly redeemed. And yes. I think that this was a masterwork in having a really rewarding redeemed hero.
I completely agree. Well, as we mentioned, that was the last book on our list. And if you'd like to pick up a copy of any of the books that you heard about here today, we have a link to our accompanying blog, which is on our website, and that is in the show notes. So you can just click on the show notes and then click on the link. And if you think we've missed something, we'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at romancepod.com.
And as we announced in the parlor, please go on over and check out our Patreon. We have finally have one up, and we are really excited that we are we able are. To do that. And we really...
I'm really nervous.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone who checks that out and, you know, shows us your support. As always, we know that not everyone can monetarily support our show, but to anyone who can and anything you can support with, we are truly, truly thankful.
And again, that's patreon.com/TNStrumpets. T as in Tom, N as in Nancy.
So what are we doing next time, Zoe? This is our 100th episode. Now what are we doing for 101?
So next time we have something really special. We have an author joining us in the podcast.
Woohoo! We haven't one of those in a while.
We haven't. And this is a person who has a new book coming out that Kelsey and I have been excited about for about a year. So next episode, we are so excited to share with you our interview with Adriana Herrera.
Yes, we are so excited to talk with her, and we hope you all enjoy.
Yes, and again, she is the author of The Forthcoming, A Caribbean Heiress in Paris, and I am currently reading it, and it is already living up to all of my high expectations. So again, thank you, listeners, for your support, your time, for listening. We hope you heard some books here today that you can't wait to read. And please join us next time for our interview with Adriana Herrera.
And may all your ever afters end happily.